Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to the Shungite Reality Show. It is October 30th, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condon and Callius and Mark Joseph. We're going to be talking about primarily the Shungite bees, because that's what, well, it's the end of the season. And so Derek wants to give you an update on the bees. So let's just start the show with that. You good with that, Derek?
Yeah, no, sounds good.
How about you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm on. Yes.
Hi to everybody.
Oh, yeah, well, hey, everybody.
Just have everybody chime in during it, from Callius to Mark to you, Nancy. At any time, of course, as you all know, interrupt me if you need me to elaborate on anything or I'm going too fast, which is pretty typical. But yeah, I'll just jump right in then.
Well, let's just, because we do have new people from time to time, just give a quick, what are we talking about when we talk about Shungite bees or Shungite beehives even, you know, because just to give them an introduction if they don't know us.
Nope, good idea. Yeah, so I'll kind of go from that, and I won't make that too long of one. But yeah, for maybe those that have heard the term Shungite beehives or Shungite bees or not, but what we're talking about is where we've been using since 2000, what was that? Was that borderline, Nancy, 16 or 17? When I first introduced the mineral Shungite to beehives to help with the energies or frequencies around it. So when we talk about Shungite beehives, we're talking about, well, specifically when we're giving you an update today, we're talking about my specific ones, but people who make their own Shungite beehives are worldwide now, and what it would entail to dub it a Shungite beehive. And there's lots of versions of it, but in essence, having at least Shungite nuggets, preferred three of them, at the entrance of the beehive. And then you can expand from there to things like painting the exterior of the beehive with Shungite paint. And all of this is explained on the Mystical Wares Shungite Beehive page, where I expand on how to make the paint and different things like that and uses. But in short, that's what it is, with nuggets at the entrance for the bees to, you know, kind of use as their landing pad. And they do, so they'll earth or ground, as we would use it, on those nuggets. And then they'll go into the beehive, which hopefully you're able to get to the state where I mentioned it's Shungite painted. And then you can loosely think of that as a Faraday cage or their space that's not exactly blocking everything, but it's definitely keeping the energies moving, flowing, more compatible for the bees. And then again, I'll kind of truncate this quickly here, but because it is on the website, but hopefully you would have a new colony when you're starting this. And you can use things like colloidal silver on the inside of the beehive and on the frames themselves to introduce those silver particles, which are antimicrobial, antifungal, all sorts of things that are issues for honeybee colonies. And then when you're wanting to, hopefully, because if you're having a smoke, so use a smoker tool to smoke your beehives, use natural ingredients. And there's various types of, from Armadou mushrooms. I used turkey tail mushrooms early on, but you can do some research on that. And again, all this is on the Shungite beehives. And really, to make it short, you can type shungitebeehives.com and you'll land on that page. So that's one way to get there quickly. And then it gets into more ways of treating the bees. But in essence, that's the Shungite beehives. So what I'm giving today is an update on the 2025 Shungite beehives that I've been managing here locally in Washington State. And we had some sponsors. We had three of them. And I'm going to have to give some background information to Nancy on kind of, and you'll know what I mean here when I get into it, on what happened this year on the circumstances. But I'll kind of go backwards. Actually, I have to give a little more information. So often when you have beehives, multiple of them, regardless if it's three or 300 or 3,000, and I know people in all those realms, literally, and then more. I know a guy with 20,000, and there's almost across the board always losses with your beehives for one reason or another. Fungus gets them, so you name it, calling it collapse disorder. That's a big one, and that's a whole nother podcast. But lots of issues accumulate to have that happen. That's just where the bees aren't there anymore. They've just disappeared, sort of thing. So lots of reasons. And again, almost always there's been a percentage of losses, regardless, again, where you land as a beekeeper in that size apiary, from small or large. So now our updates on the Shanghai beehives. We have three. So we started with three this year, and we still have three. So that's the good news. So that right there is a win. And I'm just going to let you know that, because again, I'm going to kind of walk through this. And again, you three here on the podcast with me, ask questions if you need to. But they already know a lot of this too. So that's for the listeners. So all three beehives have survived, and they're absolutely healthy. We're, I don't want to be in, we're at the end of October. So October, we got Halloween coming up. I didn't even know that. That's how busy I get. So they've done fantastic, and they're still here, thriving and healthy. Now, the add-ons to all of that, they're not as large as other years' Shanghai beehives, and that's not their fault. So, again, I want to make it really clear. They're perfectly healthy, mission accomplished. Shanghai helped do its job, had the, and they did their job, the bees I'm talking about. So they're fully healthy. They produce honey. I don't have an answer on how much honey yet, because I need to get in the hives here, and I don't just go out there and open up the hives all the time. And a lot of that information is on a free, I'll just say, beekeeper's book at thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. And there's a PDF that you can download on there. And that's the name of the book as well, where I give you more information on just why I don't go there, just popping the roof off of their house, you know, the top off their beehive, multiple times a year. It's pretty disruptive. So anyway, let's go back a little bit more. So the beehives are doing great. And I live, and I have to kind of give you this part, in literally the base of the Cascade Mountains in Washington State. So we're out in a city called Concrete, Washington. So if you want to look that up, you'll see, like, whoop, they're way out there where we look out our front or back door, and you have to look up because there's a mountain right there with snow on it right at. So we're at the base of that, all forest everywhere. And I'm saying this for a reason. So we're not in the middle of a city. And well, the other part is it's 45-minute drive from where Mystical Wares is, which is where I'm at right now, my office. Which is in Mount Vernon, Washington. So that's a distance. So what I'm saying is, over these last couple few months that we've been at that location, it's a long drive. So I'm not at the hives all the time. So what I found out when I do get home at night several times now from either a neighbor or, well, both neighbors, they've seen at different times one of the beehives. So it's called a supersedure, or they'll swarm, and they see them land in a different area. And then in this case, they fly off and find a new home in the mountains, the Cascade, the forest here, just part of them. Because what's been happening is they're so healthy, doing so well, all three beehives have been generating additional queen bees. So we have new Shungite queen bees that come out, fly out, and they've survived, because typically queens will start killing each other. But for, and again, it's just a percentage thing. These ones have survived. What they'll do is fly out. And they'll usually take about half of the colony with them when they do that. And they'll swarm for about a day. And I have pictures of some of this, and some I just didn't make it back in time, where I could have had the option of going and catching these, putting them in another beehive and starting another colony, which is some years I do get to do. And then by this time I'm saying, well, we went from two hives to eight or whatever. Well, we could have absolutely done this year, but. And I don't even know how many times. I know three for sure. So the hives would have absolutely doubled. Well, they did. because those three splits, we'll call them, they split on their own. A split's usually when the beekeeper does it, just for the terminology here, if there's a beekeeper listening, I know. So, but they're off in nature, which is, more than half the point anyway. It's not just to keep bees in these little boxes on our land, it's to help all of nature, all of us. So that's what's happening. So great news there. And a couple of them did swarm, one under the neighbor's front porch. They were there for about a day. He wasn't worried about it because I got a message while I was here and they said, "What do I do?" I'm like, "Nothing. Leave them alone." And this is for everybody. Leave them alone. They're going to go away on their own. There's always, if they're swarmed, if there's a ball of bees hanging in a tree under your porch or something like that, and they're not actively where you can, if you see the huge ball of them, well, they're not making a nest right there. If you see bees walking in a hole in the eave of your house or something like that, it's called a soffit, or in the vents, well, then they're in there and they're making a colony and they're honey, and then look at removal or something, a good way of removal. But if it's just that big bee and you see thousands of bees, leave it alone. Don't hose it off. They'll fly away within a day or so on their own and start a colony. What's happening is the queen bee's in the middle. All those worker bees who are around are keeping her safe and warm. And then some of the bees are out flying around within miles looking for a new home to start. And when they find one, they're reporting back. She'll decide, it'll go from there. So I'll just kind of stop on that part. And that's what happened many times this year with the Shungite bees. So great news. And like I said, I didn't get into them. I haven't been in in over a month, but I observe all the time. I'll just walk outside because on the back side of my house or property, all three beehives, and I can luckily for us, and I had to avoid them today, but because we're so far out in the woods, we have a local herd of elk, and these things stand over 7 feet tall, in just in our woods, and they eat in our front yard because we have apple pears, I think they're called, some kind of odd mix there or something or other, and a pear tree, so fruit trees, and the elk know it evidently because we've only been there a few months. So long story short, middle of the night we hear our dog barking. I'm like, "What the heck? Is it a bad guy?" Nope. There's 20 or 30 elk, kind of bumped up against our my van out there, and because it's just, I know, just trying to give you a visual, but fruit trees right out our front yard. So we look in the middle of the night and there's elk, and that's a thing as well. And I'm only bringing, and sheep for some reason. We have a herd of sheep that have been coming. I think I sent you a picture, Nancy. We saw that one was had the horns. But anyway, and I'm bringing that stuff up because they're all around these beehives as well. And none of them are having an issue. So we could have had wildlife issues. And for some people, that's an issue. But no, the Shanghai beehives have survived all of that. And then the other part, why they were able to split or supersede on their own is, and I won't get into details, but for reasons out of my control, and Nancy knows all about this, but we've had to relocate our entire household in the Shanghai beehives 3 times this year. So they've moved a lot, which, and I'm kind of bringing that up because, well, they've done great because of that. So they've literally had people walk out there, grab the entire bee, and I have a really big friend that did this. Literally grab the beehives during the move, set them in a truck, and we have to drive from A to B in the middle of the night to do this because that's when the bees are home. And then close up the hive so you don't lose them and introduce. And this, that's a whole process that often can really, often make bees just leave. They'll just, leave the hive because of lots of issues, but that definitely was not a problem. So that's good news as well. So it's really a lot of good news. Again, I haven't been in the hives yet. They have not. The other thing is, typically I'll say, "Well, I've added this many boxes, this many, blah, blah, blah." Well, I haven't been adding as many boxes or additional levels to the beehives this year because the hives have, luckily got to swarm and go out and start colonies rather than those 50,000 bees staying in the hive and eating that much more honey and making it. So from the bees' perspective, great news. From somebody, and that's not why we went into this, harvesting honey, not good news for the person, but that's not the point of bees anyway. It's for them first. But what I am going to do, so for the supporters, the sponsors of the Shanghai Beehives, and we'll do another update when I get in there and pictures, and I'll do an email And I'll just say it's been incredibly busy, so I haven't been ignoring this topic or anything. I've been out of touch for over a month. So I'm gonna look in there and see if we how many frames are in there, and see if we can't, because there won't be gallons to harvest. It'll be enough for the bees, and then more than likely pull out a frame of honey and send it to the sponsors. So that means pulling out literally a, and there's several pounds. There's a lot of honey on a frame. It may not sound like much, but there is. There's a lot of weight there. It's, I don't know, 4 to 5 pounds. I'd have to weigh it really, because there's different size frames. But we're gonna look at doing that. So that's kind of the update. And they're healthy. I've seen no sickness, no disease. And the very beginning when they started, when they were first brand new Nooks, which means little baby starter hive, when they were brought in, I don't know what they were fed or given. We had an issue for a few days. I think, again, I told Nancy about that, with the Nosema, where it went away very rapidly. They just, and I gave them no medications of any kind, shungite. And they took care of all that. And since that, no issues whatsoever of any kind. So I don't know if any of you three, that took about 15 minutes. But that's the update on the 2025 Shungite Beehive project.
Derek, do you have any idea of what the because I looked at it earlier this year, and the crashing of the beehives, the loss of bees is still going on. Do you have any idea of where those percentages are? Are we still, I mean, it seemed like that worldwide we're just having a less and less bees.
Well, I'll tell you, none of that information is accurate, no matter what, because most beekeepers don't report it. And that's the thing. So we can start from there. But it, I don't see it. And I speak to a lot of people and I get a lot of feedback, and definitely not just Shungite beekeepers. It's pretty typical. No, I'm not going to sound any alarm bells. There's nothing major. I mean, if I got a friend with 100 hives, you know, they've had their typical, if they haven't been able to Shungite beehive, I'm going to call it, for a lot of reasons, everyone. So it's not like they're not believers or something, but if you have a lot of hives and you can't just, you know, ask the bees to sit over here while you take their hive apart and clean it and replace chemically treated frames and, you know, and paint their hive and all this, that, and the other, and it's an expense thing. So again, there's a lot of reasons why it just isn't feasible to be done. But yeah, so in those cases, they've had their typical losses, but not where I'm going to tell you, well, it went up from 30 to 40%. No. And most of them, I even ask, they don't tell anybody anything, or they're not even asked. I've been a beekeeper how many years? I don't get an email saying, hey, beekeeper Derek, what are your losses? That stuff's not advertised. I'm sure there's possibly somebody checking that stuff out there, but I'm not being told. And I know the people who run some bee organizations here locally. I'll just say clubs. And they don't know about it. So if it's a thing, it's not getting put out there that wide. So where they're accumulating their numbers, I don't know. The bigger guys, I mean, yeah, I know a couple guys in California in the almond fields that have literally 20,000 hives. Yeah, I'm sure they kind of report their numbers, but even them, I mean, I know they're not, it's not a counting thing for them. It's not exactly ones, because I mean, they're talking about, when you're talking about boxes, it's so many thousands. You just talk percentages then. So I can't really answer you that. And an add-on, somebody asked me about the, oh, I don't know, the killer wasp or the killer bee, whatever they were calling it. That's not a thing up here. You know, they found a handful of them, I don't know, earlier in the year. I don't even want to say because I don't remember, but it's not a thing. It's not a, none of us are having issues with it, with the one coming down from, as they were predicting, from Canada.
So, yeah, I wondered about it because I know that beekeepers don't talk much about what they're doing; they just do it. But I did wonder about it because I saw a TV thing, about the bees. This was earlier, and then I went and took a look on the, what's being reported, and it was still happening. Do you have any idea of how many Shungite beehives are around the world?
Oh no. I mean, I'll tell you, it's more than hundreds. I mean, it's not dozens or anything. I mean, because I know, well, it's gonna be thousands, because India, whatever, I don't remember the group that does it in India, and I couldn't get there because of an expense thing. They wanted me to consult with theirs. But whatever the government project is of bees there, they sent me an email, I don't know, probably a year ago now, and asking for shungite because they were going to use it on all of their beehives, whatever that meant. I know they were talking thousands, but I couldn't afford to get there to go and consult. I've since got my passport, so I'm ready from that aspect. But yeah, no, so I don't really know, but I know they were definitely doing it. And then pick your country. I mean, I've got a map, links are on Mystical Wares, probably the Shanghai Beehive page somewhere, where you can see people, not just the Shanghai grid, but I've got one where it shows Shanghai, and some people have acknowledged it, some haven't, where they've got Shanghai beehives as well, and showing that. And it's on every continent but one, and the Shanghai beehives to one version or another, be it one beehive or, a thousand, who knows? So, no, I don't have a set number, but it's a lot. And then again, they don't all report back. Every once in a while, we get somebody in a Shungite Reality Facebook group that'll make a comment or show something they're doing. But that's one in a lot. Because I get messages all the time from people.
It's an interesting phenomena when you look at it, because it's like we just don't have the database to know exactly what's happening. And no matter what we would try, we're not big enough to really pay attention to that. And I've tried to contact like people that are on the internet that have YouTube, and mostly it's like study groups that you see in universities and things like that. But the, even the, you can't get much, you can't get any communication with these people. They do their own things, they make their reports, but it's not like it's something that's been done traditionally in different countries, slightly different, but basically the same way. And the truth of the matter is that the best thing to do is leave them alone, because they are an incredibly marvelous, unbelievable creation of God. So the best thing is to leave them alone. But because so many things can go wrong, they tend to open them up and see how much honey and do that sort of thing, which I'm learning from you, is not the best way to handle any of this. But when you're using the shungite, you know that they're getting an environment that is very healing to them. And when I started out with this, my thing was that there was a tremendous amount of information regarding the bee colony collapse. And I knew that it was associated with electromagnetic, because you can trace the when it began with the beginning of actually Wi-Fi and electromagnetic signals. When we started to build out that Wi-Fi second generation of, just technology, that's when you start to see them collapsing. So they were able to like kind of like come back. It was like they could adjust to certain energies, and then you didn't hear too much about it for a few years. But then they would put, and I'm watching, I went back and I compared the time frame, and then all of a sudden it's a big deal again. Why? Because they went to third generation, and the same thing with fourth. And with fifth, well, get out of the way. You turn on a fifth antenna and you're going to find bees and birds dead all over the place. So it's very much a thing that is tied to that particular situation. And they want to say, well, it's pesticides. No, it's not, because you had the pesticides before you started having the crash. And you have the same amount of pesticides when they have this, like I say, they seem to come back between the two, the signals. So right now they've got this thing about, oh, it's Bill Gates. Bill Gates came out. Now, Bill Gates was one of the biggest pushers of this climate crisis thing and scared the bejeebies out of, a whole generation of kids who think they should have been dead about 12 years ago. But he just came out and he said, maybe that was a little bit too extreme. Well, he's doing it because his technology is growing and he's invested in the government's handing him out contracts, basically. And so but now it started another conversation about, well, this, because now people are listening to people that are sane and not involved in this psyops about the climate. And what they've been talking about, Derek, is that instead of doing this critically crisis-like cut down on carbon, which is the stupidest thing, carbon dioxide is the gas of life. Without it, you're not going to live. Long story. But it now that they're looking at it and they're going like, yes, there is a problem. But it's a problem that's a natural problem. It's not something that is a crisis situation, and it's not being fueled by carbon dioxide. But there are problems, and let's take a look at it now. It's almost like they've come out of a fog. Society has come out of a fog. And now they're looking at things we can do to improve on our environment, to help Mother Nature out and be good stewards of the planet. Now, I get more excited about Derek having a swarm of bees and going out into the wild than I do that he's captured them. That is because in my area, I'm in a South Florida, there's only about 6 acres that have. Well, it's not even 6 acres anymore. It's more like five. The guy cut down all his trees, idiots. But we have like a forest area. So in this area, bees, we have bees. The bees, when Derek did Derek started out in 16 and no, didn't know about shungite, and he basically lost all his bees. Natural kind of nutrition, but he lost them. I don't know, maybe you had disease. I don't know that, but you lost them. Then he hears about shungite from me because I had put together this connection between shungite helps with EMF, and EMF is all around us. That's the basic cause of the bees colony collapse. But so I said, but I don't really know how to get the shungite to them. And I need to talk to beekeepers. So I put that out. Well, he heard me, but didn't contact me. He just bought shungite from me. And all he started out with three nuggets. And he had two hives that he had started, and the three nuggets were on the outside of the hive on that little perch like he was talking about. So he's new at it, but Derek is somebody that when he gets interested in something, he just doesn't kind of know what it's about. I'm that kind of person, mainly. He goes into incredible detail about whatever he's interested in. So he's finding out more about the bees and how they interact, and he's spending time with them, and it's story after story that was just very delightful to hear and very inspiring and informative. So then I said to him, well, how do we get the powder to him? Because I know that the powder is even more energetic than the rocks. And at that time, he was having a good experience with them, and he could witness them coming out of the hive and rubbing up against the nuggets. And then when they came back, they would do the same thing. When that season ended and he went to take the nuggets off of the hive, the bees had actually glued it, propolis it, right to the hive. And as he says, if they don't want something on the hive, they get it out of there. And so but the biggest thing to me was he had nuggets. Everybody kind of knows what a nugget is. It's just a rock. But these rocks were now in the shape of mountains from their rubbing on it. So they're taking the particles from the Shungite rocks and taking them inside the hive, and that gets into the honey. And the honey, I didn't like honey until I tasted Shungite honey. And it was not only just well, we have a friend of ours that's on the show, Kevin Smith, and he actually took his first taste of honey on a toothpick and recorded it on Facebook. It was so funny to see the look on his face. It was like, oh my God, because he's also an energy sensitive. And to put that on your tongue, it was like that he just it was a wonderful thing to see. So Shungite demonstrates just by watching what's happening, what it's doing. And when he put the powder, he said, well, okay, powder. And he took one of those little plastic containers like you'd put a silver dollar in, and he put the powder in there. And is within a few days, the activity around he only did it on one. The activity around the one that had the powder, the bees were, there was more of them. They're more energetic. And he went from 50,000 bees in that hive to it split at least three times that I know of, Derek, that I remember. So what I'm saying here is that Shungite, in my mind, would demonstrate to people what we're talking about when we talk about the sensitivity of electromagnetic fields of energy to be made mitigated and made less harmful to life with Shungite. I thought that would be the example. But in fact, now they've got studies, and he's got it on his website, of them testing 100 people in a room with phones. Took a base reading of some of their bioelectromagnetic, bio readings, they call them, different things. I don't remember what they all were, but there's five of them, I think. And then got the base, what they were like without the phone on, and then they turn on the phone and take the readings again. And everyone in the room was like, oh my God, they're having a problem here. And then they added Shungite to the mix, and not only did those readings go down, they went down lower, better than the base readings. So now I'm using that example to explain to people why Shungite's so important for the bees, because it's the same mechanism going on with them. They get into a Wi-Fi signal, and their little bodies that are tuned to be energy sensitive can't deal with it. So maybe when they have the swarming, I don't know, Derek, but maybe when they have the swarming indicating a collapse of the colony. Now, when that happens, you've got the babies in the hive, and you've got the queen in the hive, but all of the workers are gone. That's colony collapse. Well, what if they're not going out there and getting lost? What if they're trying to escape? Could that be it?
But escape, what are you saying exactly?
The electromagnetic Wi-Fi
Oh,
fields that they're
yeah. If they're too close to that, if somebody has beehives, too close to that kind of stuff, and the bees don't want it, they'll do the thing. They'll get up and off skate, of course.
I just thought about that a lot of it might be just the bees trying to get away from it. So again, we can't all count all the bees, but there might be a lot more bees in the wild than we understand. which is great for p places like you, but around here it's difficult. You know, there's not that many trees. There's not, and around here, South Florida, they have begun to look at increasing the number of trees to try to essentially bring back the cities and the large counties into a more natural thing. So we have the evolution of the way that people are looking at things, and we have the old traditional way of doing things. But I do see a change in the outlook. So I'm hoping that now when people hear our story about Shungite and you get the book, I'll have the book because you can download it, correct, Derek?
Which one? Sh
The
no.
Shungite Beehives.
I mean, that's not a book. So there's your book, and then there's Shungite Unveiled, or there's a Natural Beekeeper's Path book.
Natural Beekeepers. Where do
That
they
one.
get
And
that?
that's the best place is just the naturalbeekeeperspath.com. And if they go there, they'll just follow the links, and there's a free download. Or they can read an extended version of it online, because I've since expanded the book. And just put it into the website for free. But they can still buy the book if they want paperback version on Amazon or the website, or download the paperback version, or again look through the extended stuff on the website.
And the other thing that is important for people to appreciate is the, I started calling honey God's medicine because if you research the benefits of honey, you'll be amazed. I don't need to get into them right now, but they're extremely important. So ever since I've come into understanding honey and understanding especially the Shungite beehives, I started giving it to the dog. And I just take a knife, a wooden knife, and I sprinkle it all over the top of his food. Now, if I forget to do that, he won't eat it. He'll come tell me, hey, you didn't put the honey on it. And this old guy is doing really, really well. I can't say it's due to the honey, but I wouldn't surprise me at all. The idea that honey is important for life is growing. So there's more of you that are probably out there looking for some place you can get the honey. And don't go to the grocery store or even the health food stores. You don't know what you get. And go, there are farms. And with the days of internet, you can contact a farm and you can order it directly from the bee farm. And boom, you know, you got good honey. It's got to be unfiltered and it's got to be raw, right? Raw and unfiltered. And hopefully you'd get it chemically free, but not likely. So what I'm saying to you is that Derek didn't have, he's run out of actual Shungite honey, but you can also take honey and put the nuggets in it. And you've got a very, very improved honey because of the Shungite nuggets that you've got in it. It's not like when the bees actually are been born in a Shungite environment. That stuff is magic, mad magical. But you can get a very similar effect.
What we
So,
do is we put Shungite water beads in it, and we sell that, the Shungite honey.
well, yeah, that too. And do you still sell that on your site?
That's the way I suggest people do. So if you want Shungite honey, you get it from us. That's organic, unpasteurized, and treatment free. And then we add the Shungite water beads, which are Shungite beads tumbled in silver. So they're cosmic Shungite beads. Wrapped in pure silver, put in there, and then people can take out those beads when the honey's gone and use them in their water forever. So that's the benefit of doing that. So, and that's how you get Shungite honey. Is it just adding, like you'd meant, you can't just, so everybody listen, you can't just take Shungite nuggets, throw it in honey, and it's Shungite honey. You got to make sure where the honey came from, the source initially. So you're going to want to make sure it's at least what they call organic nowadays, and hopefully treatment free from that. And then you're not even sure. So it's just a, we don't recommend the nugget thing because not sure was nuggets. Those went through a process and we don't know where they came from. So they need to be cleaned if you're going to be putting them in something because they went through a rock crusher for one thing. And they got picked up by a backhoe at one point. I mean, there's a lot of parts and pieces. And I have videos of all this on the website too. I have a whole tour of the Shungite mine. I'm going to show you images of where it's all done. So I wouldn't, I would definitely wouldn't. That's why I would just say by default, we recommend the Shungite water beads. And if you want, and if you are a beekeeper yourself, then refill the glass hexagon jar, and that's a whole spiel in itself as well, with your good honey, and then put the beads back in it. And that's a way to maintain Shungite honey because, of course, like Nancy was saying, it's energy. So then having the silver Shungite, and that's what you need in there, in the honey will turn it into Shungite honey.
And then get the water beads on your website.
And or they can buy those individually. Exactly. They don't have to buy our Shungite honey with the beads already in it. So it's really the only Shungite honey is if you have Shungite and silver. That's the combo that we've been talking about for years. That needs to be in there. And then it's Shungite honey. Otherwise, you're just putting, hopefully, if you have Shungite, it's real, but you got to make sure of that. And then it's cleaned the right way. And there's hopefully it's not a lot of pyrite in it. I mean, again, it's not just a grabbing in a bag and throwing it in there. And then each, in our case, the Shungite beads, each individual bead is inspected a couple times for not just chips and things like that, but for inclusions of pyrite or fool's gold to the case where it's going to the level it would matter. Because if it's beyond where you could see it, not a big deal. But if you can visually see the striations or lines, that's an issue. And then, and those can be exposed even after tumbling. So there's a big process that's done with this.
Well, the thing with the pyrite is that it's not a problem poisoning. Somebody, was down, you got pyrite, it's poison. No, that's not true. The reason that it got that rec that thing attached to it was because you find it when you find the pyrite, you also find sulfur dioxide, well, sulfur in the rocks. It's part of the creation thing. And in the mining, this sulfur would get in the water and then it becomes sulfur dioxide. But it's the sulfur, it has nothing to do with the pyrite, except that pyrite is mined in areas where you also have sulfur. So you don't have to be afraid of it. But the problem with it is, and we've seen this, where the quartz of the pyrite keeps growing inside the shungite. We this one customer of mine, they showed me what happened. It was a what I call a brick. It's a 3 to 5 pound piece of shungite, and on the outside it looked completely shungite. But what happened was that they put it in their swimming pool, and all of a sudden it just broke into two pieces. Right? So think of that in a minuscule way. That's a weakness in the shungite, like in his case, the beads. Or in your case, it might be nuggets. My case might be nuggets. And you don't want these things breaking up. It's just, you don't need to be taking in pyrite. It's not going to hurt you, but it's not going to be something beneficial. So there are these little, well, so much of this we've just learned because everything about shungite that we know was not known. I mean, it's been around for hundreds and hundreds of 300 years in Russia that they've been using it, and yet all the magical potentials of it or something that we're uncovering because of people having an experience with it. So right now, this should be noted, right now, because of the geopolitical situation we find ourselves in, shungite's getting harder to get, right? Derek? Derek?
I know I'm fumbling for mute here. Oh yeah, because of all kinds of tariff issues or shipping dramas. Yeah, luckily we still have ours from the initial purchase, but and then you got a much of it's coming from via China. So and then I've seen also the fake stuff from, coming from China. So check your sources, everyone, if you're going to be doing it, buying it.
But you don't have to check his sources because he's got tons of it. He saw that we could, and I saw it too, that because of just craziness in the world, we might lose that one source in the world where you can get shungite. And so he put a lot of money into developing a large supply of it. So he's not going to run out. And you can be absolutely guaranteed that this came directly from the shungite mine. Because it was picked up by somebody that is a Russian that lives in America. He goes there, he gets the container all full of shungite, puts it on a ship, and then ships it to Derek. There's no middleman except this one guy. He's sees it from the mine all the way to Derek. Not necessarily physically on the ground, but he's been there. He does that quite often. So, yes, I'm pushing you to go to mysticalwares.com and buy shungite from Derek, because there's even this Colombian phony shungite out there. And when I hear people saying, "Oh, it doesn't work," well, did you have shungite? Real shungite? Not something that's called, Colombian shungite or some damn thing. Okay, Mark, Callias, do you have anything you'd like to say or ask?
I'm going to add to that the shungite magnets because with the weather changing and outdoors getting cold, people have a tendency to stay indoors more. And the shungite magnet's good for, I mean, if somebody has a favorite chair, to get the tourist field going there because they're most likely watching TV or on a computer screen with you got the blue light, non-native EMF, and obviously, slap a sticker on the screen to alter that field. The shungite rubber pad too for those people sitting down too long. Yeah, I mean, endless uses there. Yeah, that's what I got for that. Okay, let's see. I don't know if you have any questions or anything to add there.
Maybe Kelly's left the room. I don't know.
No, but nobody
No,
knew they were getting in the Shungite deal.
sorry, guys. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, Derek.
Okay. Derek, is there anything else you want to, pass on to people regarding this particular subject?
I'm trying to think. And yeah, I was going to say that no, just nobody knew we were jumping in the Shungite beehives this morning. So it kind of caught everybody. I'm trying to think. N no, not just yet because. Again, well, regarding the specific sponsored ones, no, but we'll have an update in a couple more weeks on the final outcome, we'll just say, when I get in there and get some photos and videos, which I will be doing. And then the other thing is we still have the that we didn't mention, and we often do is for any beekeepers out there, if you know a beekeeper, you can go to mysticalwares.com now and on the Shanghai Beehives page, but in the store, you'll find a link somewhere. You'll just have to pay for shipping, but it's will give you free shungite nuggets and shungite powder to try to turn one beehive into a shungite beehive. And we've done that for years. I don't know how many hundreds that we've sent out of the free ones. So that's something we do have available if you want to go on the Shungite Beehives page, and then read more about it, learn about it, and see if it's something you're interested in. We do ask that only people who are really interested in using that for beehives take advantage of that offer. Because it's an energy thing, and we're trying to share the energy and love energy with beekeepers and beehives, so we don't have enough that we can just, well, I can take advantage of this offer, and that's my shungite now for my electronics. We ask you, please, don't do something like that. This is again, if you don't have a beehive, and you're getting it or asking for it, then make sure you share it with a beekeeper, or if you're going to start one yourself, so that we have enough real shungite to keep the gifting going. And we appreciate that.
And you know, if you just go on the internet and you I'd use Google for this, and you ask for where you can get local honey, you'll be surprised. There'll be beekeeper websites that are around you might not even know they're there. And do yourself a favor, do your beekeeper a favor, do the planet a favor, and just reach out to these people and say, do you know about this? You know, you can go, you can get this free stuff, you can get a book that tells you about how to do this, and it's a way of improving the outcome of your hives. Because that story I told you when in 2017, when he did the started out with the two, he had an amazing effect. I mean, it was just like lots and lots of, he got up, I think that was when he went up to eight. I'm not sure, because there was one time where he went from two to eight, and there was at least double that that went into the environment. And it goes into the environment. The bees went into the environment, and he had, in between 17 and 18, he moved again to a different location. And the neighbors were saying to him, you know, we don't want you to think that this place is always full of these flowers and that the fruits are getting so big on the trees that they're busting the tree limbs. It's just something that's happened this year. And it was because Derek's bees had been going out into the wild and pollinating everything. So they had, you know, a lot of wonderful everything, because wild bees were now there that were essentially birthed in a shungite environment. So you do yourself a favor if you just take the time to get yourself semi-educated in this. Because if you go out and you get one beehive farm interested and they go that way, your entire environment's going to change for the better. And you're going to be able to buy the best honey that's not chemicaled, because it's local to you. It's a not a big deal, and you never know. I mean, these little things that we do to help Mother Nature and help ourselves, sometimes they can become very big very quickly, just because somebody took the time to pay attention to it. So I highly recommend that you do this. Get involved at least enough to give yourself, your family, your pets, you know, a source of honey that is the medicine of God, in my opinion.
And I got a question for Derek real quick before we wrap it up. I know Nancy, and this is I'll try to keep it short, but I know Nancy had mentioned the Bill Gates aspect and the whole climate change hysteria. And my impression of all that was that things were probably going in the opposite direction. I know several scientists have indicated that we could be entering a grand solar minimum here in the next few years, and the temperature will start to get colder and colder. And it appeared to me that a lot of this, geoengineering and a lot of the filling the atmosphere with carbon was to keep heat in. And so I was curious, if that is the case, what does that entail? What do a gradually shifting temperature to the colder aspects of things, how does that affect the bees' ability to do what they do? What sort of patterns do you expect to see if that is if that is the case? And how does shungite fit into any of that? How can that be used to sort of mitigate the effects of a colder temperature?
No, good questions. What I would do is definitely, have your beehives, convert them to shungite beehives as soon as possible, so they're healthier and strongest, or healthiest and strongest they can be to endure things like that. But what it's going to do overall is push the bees into smaller areas. So as it starts to get colder, wherever we're talking about, let's just say further from the equator first, it's going to start pushing the colonies toward the equator, so tightening it up down there. into the warm zones. So that will cause interactions with the bees and stuff. And, who knows if that's all going to happen that way or not, or if we're going to figure something out. There's lots of malleability to this reality, I'll just say. So when enough of us get aware and involved, and you guys all know this, things can change. So that's why I'm kind of wording it that way that, well, not necessarily the case, but if it was to happen, they would all be literally, they'd start just not migrating literally, but moving, starting to have their colonies move towards the warmer environments, which has its own issues. And then you have, colder issues, less plants, less bees. But definitely have the, for now, have the shungite around the beehives, regardless of where you're at, to mitigate that situation. I don't know that.
As an example of that, and we'll wrap up here. Derek has to go do a session because he's also a hypnotherapist and woo-woo guy. He does all sorts of energy work, and you can also find out more about that if you don't know who we are. But what were we just talking about? We were talking about the
About if
cold.
it gets winning, if it gets colder, just climate change and what happened to the bees.
Yeah, where was I going with that? Because it was important. I shouldn't take myself off message. But no, it's not coming to me. So anyway, I apologize for that. I'll think about it as soon as we get off the show.
That's okay, but you guys can stay for a little bit after if you want. I'll step out, but also Nancy, you might want to tell him, because I'm going to go here literally in moments, about the every other week sort of deal. Let listeners know as well.
Oh, okay.
But I'll
Yep.
say goodbye real quick, because literally I've got moments before I have to connect.
All
But
right.
no, I appreciate everybody being here, and yeah, let's do another show, of course, with all of us together.
All right, sweetie. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
All right,
Yeah,
guys,
thank you. Have
have
a good day.
thanks.
Okay. I don't really have anything more to say about the bees, except that I really hope that people, we're in this weird thing. Like, yeah, it always gets colder. It gets colder, it gets warmer. And the bees somehow or another adjust, as do the plants. And yes, there's migration effects. But you're not going to lose anything by making a bee stronger. And the shungite will give them that. But sometimes it takes us to push it to the people that have got the bees. Is there anything else you guys want to talk? Oh yeah, he wanted me to mention this. We're gonna take the Shungite show and we're gonna go every other week instead of the weekly show. The reason being, there's only so much you can say about Shungite, and I'd rather give you a really good show than to worry about trying to get guests on that will work with us with talking about Shungite, and there's only so much you can say about it. So every other week, so you're not going to see these come up quite as often as we were doing, because we've done that for a decade, a show a week for a decade. And so he wanted me to tell you guys that. Now there's one other thing that I would like you to take the time to look at, because it's called home. Oh, geez, home inspection. Home inspections. Healthy home inspections .com. Derek's developed. He went to school. We know that because he wasn't here. Well, while he was going to the school, he was. They were giving him books that are, 500 pages. One was 1,000 pages of all of the things you have to know to become a certified inspector for the state of Washington. Well, how in the name of God can you remember all of this stuff? So, in order to get it in his head, he's among all the other things that he does, he's also a computer programmer. So he develops a program to take the information that he's learning and to put it into a program that is being run by AI to access this information much quicker. Like you go into a home and you see this water heater that's the brand on the water heater. You tell the AI program, is there any recalls on this? And it will check all the appliances because you might have a recall on an appliance and you don't know it. So it'll do things like that, but it'll also, he's got it, he added to it, he made it better by using pictures that show like a electric panel, right? You take the picture of the electric panel and you send it to him, and he puts it in the program, and the program will come back and tell you if this panel is up to code. Because one of the things that he was made aware of, and then me, is how many regulations are out there. Like when you had a house built, it was built hopefully by regulations. But then they changed the regulations, but nobody tells you. So now he has the ability to not only see it like it traditionally is, he knows what the program will tell him. What kind of regulations the panel may not be in because it didn't have those regulations when it was put in. So it, and it's a virtual thing. All right. So you spend a certain, it's a very small charge to get, to be able to take the pictures of anything in your house and send it to him. I think he's still kind of like trying to figure out what's there. He's always very fair with his pricing. But it's something that, I mean, just talking to him is like kind of scary because he's telling you about all these hazards you didn't even, I said to him one day, I said, how the hell are we living if there's all these dangers all around us? But the reality is if by identifying potential dangers or dangers, he also gives you solutions for it. He'll tell you, well, this thing right here is really that the wiring is backwards, you know? And for most basic handymen, they'd know how to just switch the wires on a switch, like a light switch. But then there's the bigger things. And what he takes it then, he'll say, well, like this is my friend had a renovation of her bathroom, many tens of thousands of dollars. Well, they found that there was black mold because one of the rafters had, was allowing a leak to come in. And so it got to be more than, well, she planned for it to get more because she knows this is what happens. But she went through this whole thing of completely destroying, taking out the old bathroom, including part of the structure to the building itself, and re-putting in another one. Well, the whole time she's doing it, it took weeks. She didn't know if they were doing things up to code. They were doing them the way that the job got done. But are they up to code? And does this make a difference? Well, it does if you're about to sell a house. Okay? Because if they come in and they find that things aren't up to code, you're not going to be able to sell the house. So, also, you gotta, you keep an eye on what the company is doing. Are they doing what they're supposed to do? And an average person wouldn't know. But by every day, if she had been able to take a picture and send it to Derek, and then the AI and Derek, because Derek looks over everything AI says, it says, yes, this is up to code. This is the way it is. Then you can sleep that night. If it comes back and it says, no, this isn't, it should be blah, 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 then she's got a way of being able to say, look it, this is not being done up to code. And this is what where it is. Now, it might cause a problem with the workers there, but this is something that the company, because the companies a lot of times don't know. But what I found in listening to him and feeling like, okay, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, but there's a lot of things that if I just pay attention to it and fix it myself or get it fixed, you know, now, it's going to be less of a hassle and a problem later, and sometimes dangerous problems, especially when you're talking electricity. So what I found was that in talking to him, I started coming in control. I felt like I was getting more in control. And it changed my way of looking at the situation because I've been in this house for 40 years. And the house has a lot of little issues, but they became, instead of little issues, they became problems in my head. But because I was getting to understand, and I could ask him directly about this, that, or the other thing and get some really good information from him, what it did is it made me feel more confident that a lot of these little issues I can take care of by myself. But I kind of needed that pat on the back type of thing. And, yes, I'm a senior, and there's so many people out there that are in the same boat I am. The people that you used to work with, the handymen, all these wonderful people, they've all retired. We've outlived them in some cases. So there's, and they don't have trade schools. So you don't have young people coming up learning these things. So you have to deal with companies. And unfortunately, they can be very disappointing companies. But this gives us the ability to, let's say, get a control over our own environment because we've got the knowledge to do it. And you can go through and you'll learn so much about this subject. But he wanted to do a podcast on it, like, well, today we're going to look at water heaters, short ones, and show you exactly the process that you would need to know. Well, why is it leaking? Is it something that just needs to be tightened down? Is it something that needs a new placement? Is it something that means you got to replace it? Those type of questions. And he takes us through the whole story. So he's talking about this podcast, and I said, I want to be on it. And he said, well, yeah, sure. And I said, I want to be on it for two reasons. The first reason is it's something that I probably need to know. But the second reason is I can ask you questions about it. Because sometimes you need somebody there that knows a little bit about this every subject. I used to be a maintenance engineer for 25 years. Thought I knew a lot. Well, now after talking to Derek, I didn't know so much. But anyway, yes, please just go over there, take a look at it. He's still working on it, but it's good to look at and to play with. And be aware that we are going to be doing this podcast that will help take care of, situations that give you more knowledge. And if you have any questions, contact us. If you're watching Rumble, put it in the comments. I want you to talk about this. If you're on the websites, you can go to Shungite Reality. You can ask the questions there. But feel like somebody is there that's going to help you with the problems that you have in your own home or business. Because part of his interest in this was because he had a business. So, anyway, I just wanted to throw that out to people. Anything else either of you have?
Yeah, Derek has a weekly free scalar healing. This week's is overall well-being.
Closer to the mic.
Oh yeah, it's mysticalwares.setmore.com, free scalar healing, overall well-being for this week, and it's different every week. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, I've got to do that. I do it weekly. It's something that's free. You can read about it on the website, why we do this. And it's another free way of experiencing energies and how they can be helpful to you. So, Callius, anything?
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating subject. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, so we're going to end the show.
Yeah, thanks everybody. It was fun.
Yeah, no, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll see you next time. And remember, if you don't see these as frequently as normal, it's because we're going to go to every other week. We appreciate you all, and be safe. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.